In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Well, we had been doing pretty well for a couple of weeks. We've been in Christianity 101 class, and 2 weeks ago, Jesus gave us very specific instructions of how we are called to deal with people who hurt us, who sin against us. Very clear instructions about how we are to confront that and move towards reconciliation. We all went home thinking, okay, I think I understand that. Last week, Jesus talked to us about the importance of forgiveness and how that's connected to reconciliation, and in very dire story, told us that we really, really ought to consider moving to forgiveness. And we were doing pretty well at the end of that. No one came to me at the end of the service in the narthex and said, I disagree. We should not strive for forgiveness, or we should not strive for reconciliation. We all talked with one another about maybe how challenging it is, how difficult, but no one said shouldn't happen. But today's gospel lesson, well, it is the one gospel lesson out of the Bible that I can count on every year it comes up. When I stand at the door of the narthex, you will tell me you hate this passage. You hate this story. And some of you are even courageous enough to say that Jesus was wrong about that. I'm not quite that brave, but you are. It's interesting, isn't it? All right, so just in case you were dozing during the gospel lesson, today's gospel lesson is building on Jesus talking about reconciliation and talking about forgiveness, and then he tells this story about a landowner who goes out and hires some people to work for the day, comes back at 9, there are more people standing around, and apparently his hiring them had nothing to do with his need for more laborers. It had to do with people needing work. So he snagged them, took them out to the field, same thing at noon, same thing at 3, same thing at 5 o'clock, and at the end of the workday, he came and began to pay his people, starting with the ones who had been there for an hour, paid them a day's wage. The people who got there at 8 in the morning thought, yes, this is going to do well for us because we've been here all day, and yet he pays them the same as he paid the people at 5. And they are offended. And we are offended as well. We are offended by this passage. It makes us want to use the voice of Jonah. You know, when Jonah had the same experience of God. And Jonah says, I knew it. I knew it, I knew it, I knew it. I knew this is how you were going to be. This is why I ran from you in the first place. I knew you had no standards. I knew you were just going to forgive them. That's what that whole story is about. We want to say the same thing. How on earth could God run the world this way? So what do we do with this? What do we do with this passage that we all hate? Well, there's a couple of things that preachers traditionally do with this, and I think both of them are pretty solid. One of them is to remind us of some good exegesis, which is that Jesus has started doing something no other Jewish teacher had done. He had started bringing Gentiles into the fold, right? He's talking to Jewish people who are part of the chosen people who have been faithful to God for generations, and now he's bringing in Gentiles who don't know anything about this covenant, and they just want in, and Jesus apparently is letting them in, and so they're offended, and they want to know how that works. So that's the purpose of the story. It's pretty good. Another way that we can handle this as preachers is to remind everyone in the room that what the real problem is that the reason this offends us is that we assume that we are the people who have been here all day. Right? And then maybe that would bear a little reflection about whether or not that's true. But I think there might be another way to go as well, another thing to think about, sort of to dig down into this about why does this offend us so much. And I think it's two things. I think it is because we are perpetual scorekeepers and we are perpetually envious. That's what the landowner confronts the people who are offended. They say, are you envious that I am generous? And the answer is, well, yes. I am envious that you are generous. We are perpetual scorekeepers, and we are envious. We are scorekeepers. I mean, if you think about it, it's the way the whole world works, right? I mean, everything is about the tally sheet. Who's got what? Who's got enough? Who's got too much? Is it fair? And the answer is always no. Someone always has more than I have, so it's not fair, right? I mean, we're stuck. We keep score, and we assume that God keeps score. And there are lots of things in the Old Testament and New that would make us think that God has a tally sheet. And certainly, there's plenty of preachers out there who want you to be afraid, very afraid. God is watching you, and God is keeping score. And yet, when Jesus starts talking, that's not the God he describes at all. But we do. We keep score. Keep score, and we always keep score in ways that make us look better and others look worse. And that leads us to being envious people. And we assume that the divine is the same way. It's sort of like this. There was a great book back 30 or 40 years ago by a guy named Robert Farah Capon. I think it was in his Chasing the Divine Fox. And he said, we are envious like this. He said, it's like someone comes to your door, you're sitting on the couch, and someone knocks on the door, and you answer the door, and they say, excuse me, but could you come outside for a minute, because we have something for you. And you walk out down your sidewalk, and you look in the driveway, and there sits a brand new, beautiful Mercedes convertible. And they toss you the keys. And they say, it's yours. And you say, well, wait, what? Hold on, what did I do to deserve that? Well, not a thing. It's just yours. We just want you to have it. Well, what's the catch? I mean, do I need to pay taxes on it? No, we'll cover the taxes. Do I need to pay for the maintenance? No, you know what? We'll have somebody service it every month. What about fuel? We'll fill it up for you once a week. Well, what? And you just keep trying to ask what you have to do, and the answer is always nothing. It's yours. Why? We just love you. We just want you to have it. You don't have to do anything. No sooner have you come outside, accepted the keys, been excited and thrilled about this unexpected gift in your life, you're walking around the Mercedes, you kick the front tire, and you watch the person who handed you the keys walk to your neighbor's house. And you stop and say, wait a minute, not them. They're not going to get a Mercedes too. Don't they know what they're like? You secretly think you earned this car. And then it gets worse. You say, oh, I bet they're going to get a Ferrari. That's what happens when you keep score. That's how it works in your brain. That's how it works in my brain. Jesus tells a story about a God who doesn't keep score. God who has no tally sheet. God who just loves you. Who just owns the vineyard and wants you to work. He doesn't need you to work, but you need to work. And so he wants you to work. Jesus tells a story of a God whose love is so big it just pours out of God's heart. You didn't earn it. You just happen to be standing under it. And that's the way God is all the time. God's grace poured out on the world, every single person, good, bad, indifferent, every single person in the world receiving the same grace, the same blessing, the same measure. And the only thing required of you is to have good sense enough to go stand out under it. So, are you offended? So, it seems like we have a choice. We can keep keeping score. You can decide that that's still the way the world works. And you can run your tally sheet. And you can run your tally sheet about the things that you do well and the things that you do poorly, and you can hope every night that you end up with a positive balance. You can run your tally sheet about all the people that you resent who have hurt you and have wounded you and that you hold things against. You can run your tally sheet and be envious of what others have. You can do that. One little warning. You will end up with a negative balance. That's the way it works. You're not going to end up on the right side of this thing. Ever. Or you can decide that Jesus was right. This really is the way God is. And as strange and as offensive as it may seem, it's the only hope you have. And it's the only hope I have. To step out into this grace that's just pouring out of the heart of God and receive it. And then we get to go to work. Not because God needs us to work, and not because God's keeping score, but because we want to work in a vineyard that has an owner like that. So was Jesus right? Or is he wrong? Grace or a tally sheet? You decide. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And they'll stand.